Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I am Melissa. I am a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I am also a licensed professional counselor associate. I've got some other credentials to go behind my name, but I'm a child of God. I want to thank God this morning for allowing us to wait this morning. Thank God for keeping us safe. Thank God for all that he's continuing to do. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his wisdom. Thank God for his knowledge. Thank God for his instruction. And we just pray right now that as we go about our day, that we are able to fulfill God's purpose and do the things that thus says the Lord. And this morning, I'm thinking about what our topic or our lesson is going to be. I choose a 30-minute weekday edition. Gives an amount of time. This kind of starts our day off with the things that are going on. Just kind of meditate on God's word in a way that you may or may not have been considering. Allow you to open your eyes and just realize that you can gain information or you can gain wisdom from pretty much every situation that there is, both good and bad. You can also get the knowledge from reading God's word. You can get the knowledge from understanding how God's word relates to everyday situations. And as far as being instructed, you got to be open. You want to be open to what someone may share with you. And you know, as always, being a counselor, I believe we were talking about blessings, and then we culminated the week with understanding what those blessings are. And from week to week, I know you're thinking, gosh, it's awfully scattered, but the foundation of the thing is, you know, God's word is real. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're not left without any kind of help. We were created by God, so I think that as a counselor, depending on which theory you operate under, one of the thoughts that has come to my mind is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I think anybody that's in business and anybody that is a counselor has heard the whole needs discussion, and needs contribute to what a person's motivations may or may not be for their lives, you know, things that they want, need to do, and what they will go all out their way for. And you've heard it narrowed down to fun, freedom, power, love, belonging, and survival. And it seems pretty simple. You say, well, how can any and everything be narrowed to that? Well, for some people, hanging out and using drugs is fun. For other people, gambling is fun. For other people, sex is pretty fun. However, for some people, jumping off the faces of mountains is fun. Or like that one guy at one time that ended up getting everybody encouraged to jump out of a, go to the edge of the atmosphere and then come plummeting back to the earth. For him, that was probably fun. Of course, just depending on what your thought is about fun and being free, you know, having freedom, you know, you have a lot of people that you see protesting and religion, you know, that taking lives because of, you know, liberties, civil liberties, things like that. For them, that's their freedom. And other people, just staying out of jail is enough of a motivation for them. And for others, their freedoms are choosing which way to go. They're choosing to go their own way, whether it be good or bad. Then for other people, having control over their lives, having power, having control, for some people, that just means working for themselves. And other people, that just means being in leadership. And other people, having power can just mean taking control of situations regardless of where they are. And then, you know, so those can be good and bad. And then love and belonging, same thing. You know, some people just want to be a part of a group, i.e. fraternities, sororities, gang members. You know, that's just the need to be connected. And, you know, and that can be good or bad because if the gang requires you to do detrimental things that might go against you being with your family, then you'll do that just because you feel more connected to them. And then lastly, for some people, just, you know, kind of surviving, doing what they need to do to just kind of make it from one day to the next one. And so their motivation is that. And so Maslow says that if your basic things aren't fulfilled, needs like food, shelter, and security, then you're not going to be able to feel connected, and then you're not going to be able to fulfill your higher purpose, which is what you were designed to do. And so, and I was like thinking to myself, you know, I've been instructing individuals with that whole idea that it'd be next to impossible until I realized that as a Christian, there's a few scriptures in the Bible, paraphrasing them, that God is a provider, which means there's a scripture that says that if he provides for the birds, why not us, basically? If he ensures that the birds get up in the morning and fly away from their nest, they will find something to eat. If a bee leaves the hive and flies, he might have to go a great distance, but he will get there and he will find something to eat. So, you know, God, it does provide. He gives us everything we need. So Maslow says that until those needs are fulfilled, then we're not able to go to the higher levels. But if God is a provider, those needs are already fulfilled because he said so in his word. He also says that the next level is safety and security, feeling safe. God is a protector. And there is a scripture that says that he will not even allow the hairs of your head to be harmed. Job's story, you know, the enemy says, let me get him. And God says, go ahead, but don't kill him. And so if God, you know, does that for him, he'll certainly do that for us. And so we can be safe and secure in knowing that God will protect us from all harm. Now, he doesn't tell us we're not here to jump in front of harm, because, you know, he says in his word that you should not tempt him, tempt the spirit. So, you know, run out here and then I was thinking about that, the base jumper then deciding to jump from the edge of the atmosphere. You know, that was something he wanted to do. I don't know if God inspired him to do that, although he did see the earth, and it was rather heavenly how the view that he gave, that he sent back. It was so inspiring because he was standing out there, and I don't know if he could assume that. But, just to kind of have a bird's eye view, not like what God sees, but, you know, looking down and everything looks minuscule from that point. However, he said once he came down, if you ever watch him, his name was Felix. If you ever decide to Google and watch that, watch when he started spinning like a 360. He was almost dead, and he was able to bring himself back and had the wherewithal to get himself together. Otherwise, that was going to be the end of him. And so, you know, that was just by grace, but, you know, he was like, that was pretty stupid. But after it was all said and done, you know, all the money that was spent in that expedition, I'm saying that, you know, God does say he will protect us, but he doesn't want us to put ourselves in a position where, you know, of harm. But he does allow us to take certain risks, so he kind of teeter on that understanding. And then love and belonging. Some people, you know, feel the need to be a part of a group and feel that they are indebted to certain individuals, including their family, and there are so many scriptures in the Bible. One thing is that, you know, at the end, you're going to be separated anyhow. So, you know, you say, well, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that because, you know, my parents aren't okay with what I'm doing or things like that. But at the end of it all, if you got to choose between what God has told you to do and what your family has told you to do, you probably want to choose God. But anyhow, he says, you know, as far as being a part of a group, he said, well, first of all, you already know that you're a child of a God, child of a king, because he created you. So, cool. That tells you that you are a prince or a princess, you know, and that you don't live as a pauper. He told you that you don't have to live as that. You could live a life and live a life more abundantly. You know, you are entitled to, you are an heir. So, you know, if anybody ever says, well, you know, I didn't have my father, or didn't have my mother, or I didn't have the relationships that I needed or wanted in life. Well, then that's not the truth either, because, you know, God said that he was all those things. And then, let's see, moving on up, esteem, self-esteem, you know, wondering who you are and feeling good about yourself and things like that. And that goes, again, back to if God created you and he doesn't make a mistake, then your esteem ought to be healthy, like, all the time. You ought to be like, I am a child of a king. I'm created in his likeness. So I must be pretty on top of stuff, you know, no matter what I look like, you know, because it's not even the physical. Because if he created you with beauty, and it says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, so you may or may not be beautiful, you know, say on the outside to the earth standard, but you are our beauty to God. And so your esteem should just be high. And then the last, you can see Maslow's hierarchy divided into five sections, or it's divided in seven or eight of them. And either way, when it gets to beauty and aesthetics, you know that you are created. And then the last two are self-actualization. Once you get beyond dwelling into I don't have, I am not, I don't feel a part, once you get beyond all of those, that negative idea, then when you get to the self-actualization, when you realize you were created for a purpose, and the Bible speaks about that as well. And I always like to say that he gave us a job, all of us a job to do. There's scriptures that say he gave one 10 talents, gave one 5 talents, gave one talent. So you have a purpose if it's not the one thing. And if the one thing for some is just getting up and going about their day, then that's a gift in itself. Being able to get up and go, take care of your family, take care of your children. You know, that's the one purpose that you have, and that's a benefit. And so you already are creative. Well, you might have five gifts, and then they might be, you might have the gift of happiness. You might have, you just use the fruit of the Spirit as gifts. You might have the gift of joy. When you come around, people feel so much better. You know, when you come around, people feel so at peace. When you come around, you know, people are able to observe you and see how patient you are. When you come around, people are able to see how tolerant you are. Those are all gifts. And if you hide those, or if you even allow the things of the day or the wiles of the devil to hide those from individuals, then they're not going to be able to see, and then you're not going to be able to fulfill your purpose, and then you're going to bury it. And then once it is buried, then God is going to come and he's going to say, well, let me have that. I'm going to give that to the one that used it. And then you're not going to have anything, and then wonder why you find yourself to the detriment of your life at the end of it all, and left all alone or left to suffer or any of those things. But, you know, God says that, and there's a message in all of it. The other things that I see and I hear and I encounter a lot of individuals, and the one thing that has happened this week is the maintenance guy in the building in which we rent in Charlotte, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B. It's in the City North building, which is right across the street from the Amtrak station. And when you walk in, this old building has a big boiler, which used to be the heat of the building. And the building is huge and it's long, and it was a manufacturing company. When you walk in, you know, there's some plants and some hanging baskets. And he even has like 3 or 4 poinsettias, which is a strange thing because they're all green. It doesn't have any blooms on them as yet, but they're just as big, and they're growing in this one area. And when you walk in, you feel like, oh, this is nice. And so when you discard plants, you know, you're thinking, let me just, you know, cut this off or trim this up or whatever. And he has some of those plants that run ivies or whatever the names are. And like, let me get a piece of that. And when you look at it, it looks like it's dead, part of it, you know. But if you, upon further examination, it's still viable plant, and it just needs It just needs what the sun is able to give it. It just needs what the water is able to give it. And it could have just been thrown away. And as with individuals, there are some people that you will meet that have been cast off. There are some individuals that have been thrown away and have been disregarded, overlooked. They're not their shiny, you know, fool. And it was funny because I was showing some of the clients the same plan. And, you know, the one guy was looking at it like, that's it? You know, that's all it is to the plant? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. He's like, it's not going to do anything else but just look like that for the rest of his life. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. That's the extent of it. And I was laughing. And so immediately in my mind, it's like, I guess you would say the same about a dog. You know, you want a big, full-looking dog. You wouldn't be all right with just a little chihuahua, I guess. You know, it's not much to the dog, like a miniature Pomeranian or something like that. And I was laughing because I think to myself, you know, as with individuals, that really spoke a lot about how he looks at people. If you're not, you know, full of life, or if you're not, you know, full in feature, then that is not his attraction. And that's fine, because there may be individuals that are full of life that he would be attracted to. But then there are other people that would just appreciate just the simpleness, you know, of that plant. And so that was a message even in itself, how individuals' perceptions and what probably usually ends up happening when you're going through some type of detriment, whether it be drugs and alcohol, bad relationships or anything, that's because the connection is not there. We are individuals that have been removed from our original connection with God. We were, ties were severed when we left out of the Garden of Eden. We have been striving to make our way back, and along the way, I say we people have been along the way have found themselves in different situations that, where they thought it was bringing them closer, when in essence it was taking them further and further away from God, and further away from the connection with Him, with every choice. And the body knows it, the mind knows it, and the spirit knows it. And so when it encounters something that seems like it's going to give that connection back, then it's like naturally that's where that goes. But what ends up happening is that there lies early experimentation, first encounters with sexual relationships, you know, behaviors, you know, first encounter with the loss of self-control, and all of those things contribute. And then once an individual can make the decision at that moment and say, no, that's not it, let me go back the way I came and try to develop a relationship, that means that individuals do not have to fall, do not have to progress, do not have to enter into the process of getting worse. They can halt it right there and just maintain where they are, and the connection will not continue to be, the area between it will not widen. And sometimes people are encouraged to continue whatever the behavior is, and get whatever the motivation is from whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's drugs and alcohol, sex, whatever. And then the thing becomes problematic, and when it becomes problematic, that should be the clue that, again, the relationship, you feel it disease. That's whenever you listen to some counselors and they take the word disease, and then it goes disease with a hyphen, and that means not at ease. When you're not at ease with your place in the world, when you're not at ease with your family, when you're not at ease with your situation, when you're just not at ease, then that means that there's no peace there. That means there's confusion there. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if there's no peace there and there's confusion there, God's not there. And then that He's not there, then the relationship is not there. You're not connected to Him. It's you're away from Him. And that's just what that is. And then if you are able to rationalize and say, well, no, that might not be the case, you know, maybe you're wrong in what you're saying, you're wrong in what you're perceiving, you're wrong because that's not, you know, that's not how you're seeing things, or if you just deny what it is to be true, then you're going to continue. Then you're going to find yourself in a more crucial state of mind, gone further and further away from God. And now other areas of your life are going to be affected. And the Bible says that a man is unstable in every single one of his ways. So if you're unstable in relationships, if you're unstable in work, if you're unstable in finances, if you're unstable, then guess what? You're unstable in everything. And it's not until you say, ask God, and be like, I need some stability in my life. I need help in getting to the place where I need to be. And that's to develop these connections back with God. And you're going to continue to be struggling and getting worse and worse and worse until finally God can still reach down, 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 down as far as an individual can go. If he's willing to go into the depths of hell, if he's willing to go all the way down and bring individuals out, he's willing to do that for us. So if you find yourself so far away from God, just by the nature, that's where the chronic stage comes in. When you begin to deteriorate morally, you begin to deteriorate physically, you begin to deteriorate mentally. You know, and we were watching a film on yesterday, and it says that as you're progressing in your youth, your brain is changing, and more and more and more changes are taking place. And part of these changes that take place, it affects memory. It affects we realize that when you have a blackout in alcoholism, that it is a moment when the brain is turned off, and you can't turn your brain off. So my question was, if you turn your brain off and there's no memory there, which means almost like you turn your computer off or the memory's been wiped out, where do you get the memory back? Can you get the memory back? And then later on, when you get older and you're trying to draw from these memories and they're not there, and then what? And so it made sense. And the reason being is because those changes have been made in your brain, and you can't. But then we realized that can heal. Again, God is a healer. He's able to do what exceedingly abundantly whatever we ask or what we need. However, we got to have a bit of wisdom. And so if we've lost some memories, we got to ensure that we got individuals around us that will help us to take care of our memories, that will not continue to deplete us of the things that we want and need to be thinking about and ways in which we need to be going. And so when you find yourself morally deteriorated, physically, mentally, and emotionally, then saying that, admitting the powerlessness over it, coming to believe that a power greater can restore, and making a conscious decision to turn the will and life over to the care of God, as you understand them, acknowledging in those first three steps an honest desire for help, being open, realizing that these things can be arrested, acknowledging that God can heal, all of that's going to be important in order for you to progress and to get better and to heal. But it's work. Again, God does provide, but the birds got to fly out the nest. God is not going to throw food into the nest. You got to go out. The bees, the honey that is the sweetest, you have to get out and fly miles upon miles and collect from flowers upon flowers a certain amount of nectar. It says it takes, I don't know, I think I read 30,000 flowers to make 5 pounds of honey, something like that. Whatever it is, it's a lot. It means you've got to put a lot of time and effort in, but you will produce what is amazing. And just in this conversation, just do consider all of the things that we have said as far as our needs and our motivations. Just in the encounters that you meet with individuals, if you maintain your openness, if you maintain your just tuning in to and allowing God to speak in the quiet times, or allowing Him to speak in the things that you need to do, and just continue to be observant. God will show up there, and feeling like that all is lost or all is gone. God is able, and that's just a blessing for that. And my name is Melissa Enoch D. Berry. Talk with Trinity is a program from March 2014 is our first program. March 2016, we will have been on the air for 2 years. The goal was always to share with individuals and to let individuals know about Trinity Counseling Services and Trinity the Mission. The Education, Enrichment, and Enlightenment is just an ongoing ability to take the knowledge from the Word of God, to use that knowledge for the wisdom and help to show or instruct individuals of the same. And I would have never thought that it was possible to do the program for this long. I'm consistent, trying to be consistent with it every Saturday morning, 8 to 8:15, and now every Thursday from 8 to 8:30, just sharing it. And God continues to speak. I think I made the identification earlier on that I believe God is calling me into ministry through every experience, of course. As you are called into a ministry, and ministry doesn't necessarily have to be into the pulpit, but ministry is just the calling that is on your life. And I continually want to do what thus says the Lord, and I want, and there's no other reason why not. You know, sometimes you get to a place where everything is gone. You feel like, you know, You have no strength. You have no motivation. You have no nothing that you know is holding you on. Then you remember that but God, and you see that with individuals who lose their lives or who become sick or experience death or homelessness or any of those things. The first step is the most important, and it's just admitting that powerlessness and just saying that, God, I cannot do this without you. And once you're able to admit that, then he'll show up and he'll step in. And this morning I just wanted to highlight how everybody has certain needs that motivate them in their lives and things that and the goals that they want to achieve, and they feel like they run up against. Or I sometimes feel like I run up against a wall with that. And then I ask God, to help to go through it, to go over it, to be delivered from it, or to gain whatever it is from it in order to be better. And so that is the motivation. And you don't want to pick up any drugs or alcohol. You don't want to pick up any bad behaviors. You don't want to continue to be turn away from God. You continually want God to be that light and just to be guiding you in the way he wants you to go. And you continually want God to affect the change in your life, the lives of your family, lives of others, because no one wants anybody to be without. So with that, we just want to thank, in this last minute, we just want to thank God for the opportunity to just be here and continue with us for at least a year, year and a half, almost 2 years. We just want to thank God for our families. Thank God for every opportunity. Thank God for allowing us to listen and learn. Thank God for your wisdom, knowledge, and instruction. And as we go, just allow God to continue to use us as he would have us to do. And if you want to contact me, Melissa Trinity Counseling at gmail.com, 704-333-2446, 336 675-0075. 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. We just want to say thank you to everyone that's listening, and we hope that you gain something from it. And thank you to our sponsor, Trinity Counseling Services. Have a good day.